Well, good evening.
Good evening.
Do want to welcome everybody here. Thank Bill for the kind words. It's, of course, anytime you study God's Word, to me it's interesting. But this is one of the subjects that I think I told you at the beginning of this lesson that when I was a kid, I really struggled with. I believe that God created everything. But one of the biggest problems I had was, you know, how did the dinosaurs fit in? You know, we're told that the dinosaurs and man did not live together, but we've seen otherwise. They did. So the first time I heard one of these lessons talking about the creation and how everything fit together, it was just like light bulbs just went off. And so hopefully that's what we've been through as far as going through this class. We're about finished. I got tonight and next week. And I believe Brad's got something he's going to be doing. Last week, we were talking about, of course, design. We're talking about the human body, the fact that life begins at conception. Life is in the womb. Elwood talked about that in his prayer. You know, we're a country that seems like we just want, we got a problem, we just get rid of it. And if that's a baby we don't want, we just get rid of it. But that's not God's plan. It's not God's way. We looked at some scriptures talking about that. We're going to look at a couple more. In Isaiah chapter 44, verse 24, it says, "Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, he who formed you from the womb, I am the Lord who makes all things, who stretches out the heavens all alone, who spreads abroad the earth by myself." So here he says that he created the heavens, he created the earth, and he creates life. And life is in the womb. It's not a glob of cells. It isn't something that isn't alive until it's born. It's a person. You know, even when we're born, we're still developing. So at conception, we're just developing, different stages, but still human. Psalm 139, verse 14, "I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well." God has made us, each one of us, individual person. But mankind is different than the animals. The major way is the fact that we have a soul. God breathed into Adam the breath of life, and he became a living soul. That soul lives on forever. You know, a lot of people talk about they'd like to be immortal, like to live forever. We will live forever. We won't live in this bodily form. We're not for sure what the form will be. But in some form, we will exist forever. The question is, where? And we'll talk more about that later. The human body that God created is simply amazing. Most of the time, we just take our body for granted unless something happens. And then we get concerned. But the body is amazing. Notice the following quote from a person that is an evolutionist. This is what they say. "When you come right down to it, the most incredible creation in the universe is you. With your fantastic senses and strengths, your ingenious defense systems, and mental capabilities so great you can never use them to the fullest. Your body is a structural masterpiece, more amazing than science fiction." And yet this person doesn't believe in God. To him, all of this amazing things just happened by accident. But yet he still recognizes the body is amazing, and it is. A human body is composed of over 250 different kinds of cells. Red blood cells, white blood cells, muscle cells, fat cells, nerve cells, and so on. Totaling approximately 100 trillion cells in the average adult. These cells come in a variety of sizes and shapes with different functions and life expectancies. Some cells are so small that 20,000 would fit inside a capital O. Still others, placed end to end, would make only 1 inch if you had 6,000 of them assembled together. Amazing. But cells are an organism in itself. Each cell needs food, needs oxygen, needs to get rid of waste. And our body does all of that. And if all the cells of the human body were set end to end, they would encircle the earth over 200 times. Each one of our bodies. 100 trillion cells in the average adult. That's a big number. But we know how big the earth is. I got a good idea. And yet if our cells were lined up end to end, it would circle the earth 200 times. Is that amazing? It is. And yet all these cells, when the body's working as it should, work perfectly. They all work together. They all have their own little job to do, and they do it well. Design speaks of the human body. Our body has been designed. Of course, we know that we're designed by God. We're going to look at the body a little bit closer. We're going to look at cells. We're going to look at some tissues. We're going to look at organs. And we're going to look at systems. Now, I know most of you didn't come here tonight thinking you're going to have a biology class. But we've been dealing with science in this class. Where does science come from? God. Biology. Where does it come from? God. And when we look at it, as I said earlier, it is amazing. It's almost beyond comprehension how it all works. Let's begin by looking at cells. As mentioned, there's over 200 different types of cells in our body. There's 100 trillion cells in the average adult. Cells are alive and must have nourishment. And the genetic code for each one of these cells, the DNA, of the reproductive cells, the sperm in the male and the ovum in the female, would fill a 300-volume set encyclopedia of 2,000 pages each. The DNA is chemical. But if you translated that into English, the DNA of that cell would fill up 300 of these books. Hard to believe, isn't it? But that's how much information is there. And we're supposed to believe it just happened by accident? I think not. The Apologetics Press, in an article titled Origins, Random Chance or Intelligent Design, had this to say. Yet just as amazing is the fact that all the genetic information needed to reproduce the entire human population of about 6 billion people could be placed into a space of about 1/8 of a cubic inch. 1/8 of a cubic inch. all the information that would be needed to reproduce 6 billion people in a chemical form could be put in that little 1/8-inch square cube. The complex nature of the DNA molecule, combined with the staggering amount of chemically coded information that it contains, speaks unerringly to the fact that this supermolecule simply could not have come into existence due to blind chance and random natural forces operating through eons of time, as evolutionists have claimed. No way. Just wouldn't happen. Couldn't happen. So just saying it happened through evolution is not an adequate explanation for the inherent complexity of the DNA molecule. Does coded information happen by chance? And could the decoding system, the RNA, just happen by chance as well? Of course, the answer to that is no, it couldn't. We've all heard of DNA. And there's the word for it, deoxyribonucleic acid. We'll just stick with DNA. But that is the coded system. You know, when we got ready to build this building, we had blueprints. Anytime you build a building, you have blueprints. And there can be pages and pages and pages and pages, from the foundation to the structure to the electrical system, the plumbing system, on and on. That's the blueprint for the building. That's what the DNA is for life. It's the blueprint. It's all the information you need to make life. But just as if you had a set of blueprints sitting on your desk, if you didn't open it and somebody didn't read it and interpret that and act upon it, that building would never get built, even though the information's there. Well, that's what RNA does, ribonucleic acid. It doesn't work by itself, but it's the catalyst that reads that information that's in the DNA and says, okay, this is what I need to do, or this is what needs to be done. You guys, you get together and you're the cells to make the ear. You guys are the cells to make the fingers. You guys are the cells to make the stomach. You're the cells to make the brain, and on and on. But does a code happen by chance? And then, does it happen by chance to have something that can interpret that information and do it correctly? No. Neither one of those can happen by chance. Most of us have seen DNA in picture form. And there's what it looks like. This is just part of a strand of DNA. Says DNA is perhaps the most famous biological molecule. It is present in all forms of life on Earth. Every cell of your body contains DNA, or the genetic code that makes you. DNA carries the instructions for the development, growth, reproduction, and functioning of a life. Differences in the genetic code are the reason why one person has blue eyes rather than brown. Some people are more susceptible to certain diseases. Why birds only have two wings and why giraffes have long necks. Amazingly, if all the DNA in the human body, and remember, every cell has a copy of that DNA for you in each cell. And there's 100 trillion cells. If all the DNA in the human body was unraveled, this double helix, that's the DNA, it curls and twists and it has to get in tight places. But if it was unraveled, it would reach to the sun and back more than 300 times. One person. How far is it to the sun? You remember? 93 million miles times 300. That's 27,900,000,000 miles. And yet, we're told that this all happened by accident. I think not. Couldn't have. Didn't. Never could. It was designed and created by intelligence, God. How many of you have ever read anything on the internet? Is there anybody here that has never looked at anything on the internet? What you see on a screen, even on this, your phone, you look at Facebook, you look at all this stuff. What you're seeing is a representation of a code. Behind the scenes, there is a code. You know, computers only deal in what? Zeros and ones. In the basic form, a computer is only on or off. And from those zeros and ones, you make up letters. You make up words. You put together pictures. There is design everywhere we look, even on our web pages. Here is the code, part of it, that puts our main web page on the internet. And it has to be done correctly. If you goof up one of those less than signs or greater than signs or equals or even a comma, dash, whatever you happen to have, it can mess up everything. It has to be exact. Otherwise, you got a mess. So this is what's going on behind the scenes, just part of it. It's going on behind the scenes in order for you to see things on the internet, on your computer. Here is a picture of a snapshot that I took. This was back in 2013, I think, so it's changed a little bit. But that code that you saw on the first page, that's part of the code that's behind all of this. We like this a lot better. We can read this a lot better. But again, you've got a coding system, simple form of like DNA, and then you've got a decoding system. Something has to read all that information and say, oh, this is what you want. Boom, there it is. So the DNA has all the information, that first page or last page we just saw. The RNA says, oh, okay, this is what you want. Boom, there it is. But of course, DNA and RNA is talking about living things. A web page isn't living. We're going to do something a little bit different. Fred's been working on putting these lessons onto our website. And I think he's got all of them on there except for this lesson we're doing now. Also, he had been working on the members area to get everybody's pictures on there, their home addresses, telephone numbers, all that kind of stuff. But he's going to try to show us here. Hopefully everything works out okay. On the search engine of any type, like this one's Google, you can type in Hollister, MOCFC.org. Of course, most of us have tried to search for things, but then it will take you, and sometimes it gives you lots of options. Hopefully the one that you're looking for is up there close to the top, and then you click on it. And it opens up. There's what our webpage looks like now. It looks a little different than what it did before, but not a whole lot. But one of the things that you can do is up there to the top, I think it says sermons right now, or does he change it to lessons? It says lessons. You can click on that. It'll take you to sermons, devotionals, lessons. And down there on the right, it says Bible class lessons, miscellaneous lessons, the Battle of Origins. That's what I titled this series of classes. And you can click on that. And it'll open up. And as you scroll down, it will have the lessons. Lesson number one, lesson number two. And you can have it in audio. And PowerPoint. So you can have all the PowerPoints that I've done through this lesson. You can listen to the audio that goes with those PowerPoints if you want to. I think this is lesson number 54 we're doing tonight. So a little over a year as far as worth of classes. But we want to give you an idea if you want to go to this. There's other information on there. I haven't updated it a whole lot recently. Hopefully Red's going to work on it a little bit more to put more sermons and stuff on there. But at least you can go there, at least for this lessons, if you want to go back and review it. Or if you want somebody else to listen to them. I had different people from different churches here that we were doing this, and they wanted me to come and teach this class to them. I said, I don't have a year to do that. So this is one way they can get the information if they want it. The other thing that's been brought up, is like we were talking about, is our members area. You go back to the main page. Up there on the right-hand side, it says members. You click on that, and it will have a place to enter a password. And if you don't know what the password is, ask Fred or me afterwards. That's so that not everybody that in the whole World Wide Web can get your information. We don't want everybody to have that information. But you just click on that, and there you have the member directory. Look at that. We'd like to have a picture, an updated picture of everybody. If you look at that and you don't have an updated picture, you can have one and give it to Fred. He can put it in there. If your address and information is not correct, let us know, and we'll get that corrected. But this just gives you another tool to use as far as website. And so just wanted to take a little rabbit trail, as Don says, off to the side there a little bit while we're talking about the internet and web pages. There's information there. Like I said, the series of these lessons is going to be on there or is on there. You can listen to it as audio. I think if you use Firefox, Chrome, you can actually download the audio files. What's Microsoft stuff? Internet Explorer. Yeah. With Microsoft stuff, you have to download it to your computer to listen to it. But on this, you can just listen to it on the internet if you want to, if you use Firefox or Chrome. But anyway, just wanted to give you a little information as far as our website while we were talking about websites. Let's talk about tissues for a moment. Get back to our human body. Muscles. There are over 650 muscles in our body. 6 billion fibers, and that's 40% of your body weight, muscle. The reason to say 650 or more is some questions is how you divide up muscle groups. Some of them divide them up in little bitty pieces, and some of them just put them in big groups or whatever, but there's a lot of muscles that operate and control our body. Some are small muscles. The extraocular muscles are the 6 muscles that control movement of the eye and 1 muscle that controls the eyelid elevation. Need to have Tom here. And there's 6 muscles we're just talking about that control the eye. Move it up and down, around, across your eyes. Move your eyelids. So those are some of the smaller muscles in our body that controls the eye. But each one of them is important. If you have problems with one of those muscles, it can cause you a lot of trouble. So each one of them, as I said, is important. Here's Bird's expertise. I asked him last week, I said, okay, how do you pronounce that? Stapedius? Okay. Very good. Stapedius muscle is the smallest skeletal muscle in the human body. Just over 1 millimeter in length. Its purpose is to stabilize the smallest bone in the body. Stapes. Here's the ear. There's 3 bones that's associated with hearing. The one that's circled there, that little red thing, that's the muscle. It's controlling the anvil, is that correct? Stirrup, that's right, stirrup. And Bird was telling me the reason for that, of course, these bones are little. They're pretty fragile. Have you ever had something pop in your ear and your ear hurts for a while? Well, that little stirrup bone in there is just going crazy. So that muscle is there to control it, to make sure that it doesn't get out of control. Stabilize it. It's like ringing a bell, and as long as you don't touch it, it just keeps on going for a while. If you touch it, poop, it stops. Well, that's kind of what this little bitty muscle does in controlling that little bone, the stirrup. So it may not be something you ever noticed, paid attention to, knew of, but it's there functioning, doing a good job, hopefully, protecting your hearing. What Dan says? There's the size of those 3 little bones. Bird said he used to have some of those. I think he gave them to Aaron. He's ear, nose, and throat specialist up in Springfield, so he's now in control of that. But anyway, these are the little bones that allow us to hear. Now, if you was going to design something to hear, is that how you would put it all together? You know, it's just amazing. You got the eardrum, you got these little bones in there. Translates to the brain. The brain says, oh, I know what that is. You hear voices. You hear distinctions and voices. But again, what were the chances of just those 3 bones being shaped just right, coming together and working together in order for us to hear? It wouldn't have happened by accident. It was designed by God. And we also have large muscles. I will not say anything more. Gluteus maximus, backside muscles. But they help us to move. We're stabilized. Controls the legs, help control the legs, the back. They have to be strong. And they are, as far as a group, one of the larger group of muscles. The quads and hamstrings, for these are our thighs, front and back. Again, they're strong. They're supporting all the weight. You walk up and down some stairs, you'll notice them muscles right away. Pectoral, chest muscles. And I'm not sure how I pronounce this or how it should be pronounced. Latissimus. See, okay. I was close. It's the back muscles, the lat. It goes from your neck, kind of the V shape. You know, if your guy is really built well, you can see from the back that V shape. Well, that's those lat muscles. That's another big part of our body, makes up the muscles. And there's also two classifications of muscles, voluntary and involuntary. Anybody know what the difference is? Okay. The voluntary muscles are those controlled by human will. You know, we can move our fingers, lift your leg. We can control that. There are some other muscles that, for the most part, are involuntary. Your heart, it just keeps it going, hopefully. You don't have to really think about it. You don't have to tell it to beat, beat, beat. Most of the time, a respiration, we can control it a little bit. But if we hold our breath too long, what's going to happen? Your body says, okay, that's enough. I'm breathing now, so it's going to take over. Digestive system. So some of those muscles are just going to work on their own. Involuntary. And then we can control some of them. Here's a picture. Do what?
You can't sneeze when you want to.
That's you. There's a picture of some of the muscles. Our body is just covered in them. You know, we've got the bones underneath there. And then you've got the different systems. And then the muscles is kind of a covering of all of that to help control everything. And then, of course, the biggest organ of the body is over the top of that, and that's your skin. But each one of those muscles was designed for a specific purpose. It functions in a certain way. Some of them need to be strong. Some of them don't need to be that strong. But again, this isn't something that was just put together over eons of time as an accident. It was, again, designed that way. Organs. Let's look at a few of those. The eye. Again, we need Tom here. The eye is an amazing organ. It's one of those things that if you've never had problems with eyesight, you take for granted. You know, we've had a friend of ours that lived in St. Louis. She was blind. And I often wondered, what? I mean, to me, that's terrible. That's all I can say. I really would hate to be blind, at least never to have seen. But the eye is an amazing organ. Light enters the eye at the iris at 186,000 miles per hour. That's how fast light travels. Poof! It's there. The iris opens and closes to control the amount of light. You know, the pupil, if it's dark outside, it opens up, allows more light in. If it's a bright, sunshiny day, bloop, it closes. It doesn't need very much of that light. Do you get to think about that? No, it just does it. Images pass through the lens and focuses the picture on the retina at the rear of the eye. There are 137 million nerve endings that pick up this image and pass it to the brain at 300 miles per hour for processing. And then the brain says, oh, I know what that is. I know what color that is. And it's instantaneous. If I look at Bill, I look at Don, it don't take very long to recognize who that is, what color shirt they've got on. It's just there. It's not a process you have to think about. It just happens. So the eye truly is one of God's masterpieces. All of us have one of these. All of us have a camera. I just took your pictures. Who in the world would say that this phone and this camera happened by accident? There'd be nobody in their right mind that would say that. Somebody worked hard. Somebody's, it wasn't just one person, it was a bunch of people got together to make a cell phone. The other day on TV, I think it was a commercial for Verizon saying the first cell phone call was made in 1983. We all remember those bag phones. Had to have one. And look what we got now. It didn't happen by accident, folks. It took a lot of hard work, a lot of designing, a lot of failures before they got it together. And yet, the human eye supposedly happened by accident? Couldn't have. It didn't. If we can see that the function of a camera demands that it was made by a creator, does it not likewise stand to reason that the more complex human camera, the eye, must also have been designed and made by a creator? Of course, the answer to that is yes. Logic, reasoning tells us that. Common sense. Okay, well, let's end there for tonight. David gave me the 5-minute warning. We'll finish up next week. We'll talk a little bit more about the human body. It's just amazing. This is just the tip of an iceberg of what the body is, what it's composed of. You know, we get great joy out of seeing these little robots. They can be robot dogs. But those things are nothing compared to the complexity of life, the body. We can make little robots. We can take pieces and put them together and manipulate it, and they work. But we can't make life from scratch. We are manipulating it, cloning, doing different things. Not sure where all that will end. If it'll be good, if it'll be bad. But we're using something that's already there. But somebody started it all. That was God. Let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the many blessings that you give us. We thank you for this country that we live in. We pray that you watch over the leaders, They'll look to you for guidance and wisdom. We pray that we will do the things that we need to do as citizens of this country to allow this country to go in the right direction, following your laws, your word. You be with the church here as we strive to send out the word throughout the world, throughout the community, and that we as individual Christians would do our best to let our light shine so that others may see Christ. We pray as we study your word that we will learn those things that you'd have us to learn, and as we've seen tonight, that you truly are amazing, powerful, in creating the life that we so rightly love, and we understand that without you there would be nothing. We pray that you bring us back at the next point in time. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.